Testing 1, 2, amen. Praise God, praise God. We're ready to take off, amen, huh? Ready for service, amen. Ready for the word of God, hallelujah. We should always be. You know, you haven't seen the nature shows, you know, and they show these bird nests in a big tree or a big mountainside, and the mom or the dad, they come with the food, and you have these birds, and they're not sleeping. When that mom and whatever comes with the food, their mouths are open. And the one that gets the most is the one that makes the most noise, is the strongest, and can get to the mama first, and just wants all the food that's regurgitated. That's how it goes, okay? Thank God we don't have to do that, but that's how it goes. And feed. So here we need to get to the Word of God. We need to have open mouths to our Lord and Savior, saying, feed me, give me your Word, show me things. People, we need to be hungry for the Word of God. We need to be hungry for the things of God.
Yeah.
Not just activity, but the things of God, the Holy Spirit. And what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Well, anybody knows what today is or what we're celebrating today, basically?
Palm Sunday.
That's right. Palm Sunday, that's right. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior and the things that happened in that scenario. So let's take our word. Let's hold it up before we say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you feed us by your Spirit and by your anointing. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And I know some of you are freaking out. It's a little different. You kind of say, oh, got to be ready. You never know. You never know. This is life. I'll honor it. You can do that, you know, whatever. But, amen. You know, last week we talked a little bit, and we talked about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it says this, and we know the scripture. It says this, Hebrews 13, 8. For Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Thank God for that scripture. That he is a God that we can rely on, which I talked about last week. We talked about how Jesus healed, you know, the centurion servant, you know, how Jesus healed the lady's daughter, you know, the power and the anointing of God. We know that Jesus is still the healer today and doing mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. You see, the word of God will build the faith to believe God for healing. You know, and there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. You know that. You know, I don't have to explain all that. There's nothing wrong. But I tell you what, we should never, never stop believing what God can do. What God can do. You know. You know, we probably all probably need some healing in our bodies. There's always certain, you know, the older you get, you know, things start to wear down. That's because of the sin nature. Things start to wear down on the body itself. The spirit man is alive and well. The spirit man is like day one, you know, just alive and well and moving. But the body starts to break down because of certain sin nature things that happened years ago. That affects our bodies. But Jesus said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is a scripture that we can hold on to say, Lord, you can bring healing to our bodies. You can set at liberty those that are being captive, that those that are being held in bondage by old Slewfoot, that we can do the things that God has called us to do. He never changes. At all. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before we read in Matthew about how Jesus entered into Jerusalem, It says in Scripture, before, you know, that is the end of his, the end of his ministry here upon the earth. When he started to walk into Jerusalem and the crucifixion would take place, that was the end of his ministry here upon the earth as far as physically, okay? We know Jesus was born, and at 30 years of age, he was thrust into or brought into the public ministry of praying with people, helping people, saving people. From 30 years to 33 and a half years, those 3.5 years was a time that shook the earth, and all around Jerusalem, all around those areas, shook by the power and the presence of Almighty God. You can read it in scriptures where Jesus' popularity grew. My God, when people started to hear in Nazareth, in Bethpage, in Bethany, in Jerusalem, in all Capernaum, in all those areas, Jesus' popularity started to grow because they heard that he was the great healer. They heard that he was the great provider. They heard that he was the God that could save their souls and bring liberty and freedom and help to. My God, his popularity grew with the people. It says that he would get in ships with his disciples, and they'd go to the other place. And as they were getting out of these ships, him and his disciples, people would be running on the shore with people that were lame and blind and sick, running to the God that could give them hope, running to the God that could save their souls. With the common man, or the common woman, or the common child, you can say, his popularity grew. These people loved him. They saw him as the Messiah. They saw him as maybe setting up his kingdom right then and there. They saw him. They accepted him. His popularity grew beyond measure. He cared for the people. Huge throngs of people followed him wherever he went. Crowds formed wherever he was. People began to pour from entire regions, bringing their sick. Some confined to beds. They're blind, they're lepers, and he saved their souls. His popularity at that time was phenomenal, people. Phenomenal. You know, we often think, well, you know, they rejected him. The religious groups rejected him.
Amen.
The ones in our hierarchy. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those groups that had the power rejected him. And the reason they rejected him, for the most part, was because his popularity was growing and they didn't like it. The loosening of their hands and their grip upon the people was loosening, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that Jesus was laying hands on the sick and they were recovering. They didn't like that people were going, they liked people going hungry, but they didn't like that Jesus was giving them food to eat miraculously. His popularity was growing. I mean, it was just, people were hearing. That's just like today when you start to hear about what God is doing in certain areas of our world, or certain churches, or certain whatever. When it starts to grow, you get excited. Look what God is doing. Look what God is doing. This was the Messiah, the Lord, our God, our Savior, that his popularity was growing beyond measure. The common man and woman, like I said earlier, was polarized by him, was moved by him because of the anointing and the power of God that moved through him. Here we pick up the story. In Matthew chapter 21, in Matthew chapter 21, And there's, you can read it in Mark, you can read it in a few other things, areas. Exactly a week before, our Savior Lord would lay down his life. And you might say, Pastor, why are you using those words, lay down his life for us? Because no man took his life. They crucified him, yes. But he laid down his life as a lamb to the slaughter for us. Because of his love for his people. Knowing that that would bring reconciliation back. He knew what he had to do. And he did it because his Father wanted him to. But a week before, the whole story of him being crucified and the resurrection. This happened a week before the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now look at this. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read to verse 6 and then we'll read the latter parts later. It says this, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they will come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus to his two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass or a donkey tied with a colt or a foal with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon a donkey or an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Here we see Jesus comes, him and his disciples, all 12 of his disciples, they're coming. They're getting close to Jerusalem. There are two suburbs, if you want to say that. Now it has incorporated these two. But two suburbs of Jerusalem was called, one was called Bethany, and one was called Bethpage. They were getting close. They were in these places, but they were getting close to Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem has taken it all over. It's all Jerusalem. You know, that's just like every town has little suburbs that come up, and then after a while, usually that town or that city will incorporate it into that town or into that city. And here they were, all 12 of them, coming with Jesus. And Jesus turns and he looks to two of his disciples, and he says, I need for you to go and into Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives. He sends two of his disciples. From the commentary, and I can understand why, they think it may have been Peter and John, whoever. They think that's who it is. But he sent two of his disciples to go into that little suburb place and to get a donkey and the little colt with it. That means the mother had just had the colt not long. I mean, you know. But they were both tied up in a place next to a home. And, you know, Jesus says, I need for you to go and get those two animals. Now, we know Jesus as God, which he was 100% God, has no need of anything. He's self-sufficient. But Jesus as man, which he was 100% man and 100% God, as 100% man, he has needs that man can meet. Well, Jesus didn't have a donkey, or Jesus didn't have a colt or a foal that he could ride on. Because you see, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which we'll read, it talks about that the king of Jerusalem coming upon, riding upon an ass, or riding upon a donkey, or riding upon a foal. So that in the New Testament was being fulfilled what was prophesied in the Old Testament. God, Jesus kept every law, every prophecy that was prophesied about him. He kept it to the T. My God. And here we see he sends the two. And they go and they get to where they see this donkey. And they see her little colt there tied up. And you know, Jesus knew what to tell those two disciples. Because he said, when you get there, and if they ask, he knew they would ask. If they ask why you have need of these things, just tell them that the king needs them, or the Lord needs them. And so here they go. Now, can you imagine, you know, if whoever it was, they say Peter and John, and that's okay. It could be either one, whatever. They just think that was those for certain reasons. If they're going and they see this donkey and this foal, they have to do what God tells them to do. What if, let's say it is Peter and John, what if they would have looked at Jesus and said, no, no, I'm too scared. Huh? We sing that song, Fear is a Liar. Don't let fear set in your heart. Don't let it. Fear will stop you from speaking out for God. Fear will stop you from fulfilling what God has ordained for you to do upon the earth. Don't let fear stop you from the blessings that God has for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't fear going and do it. But don't let it hold you back. Because what if Peter and John would have said, Lord, no. Too scared. What if he does ask? Well, if he does, God gave me the answer. Jesus gave me the answer. You see? We have to remember this. Whatever God calls us to do, he equips us. Whatever God calls us to do, he equips us. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not the best speaker, you know. I don't know if I could really tell somebody about the Lord. Well, look, can you speak anything? Just tell them about the Lord. You know? See, we look for perfection. God doesn't look for perfection. We say, well, Lord, I have to be perfect. I have to know exactly how to say it, exactly how to do it. And Lord, I need you to speak it to me. Then I'll go and do it. But God says, when he calls, you just go do it. When he looked at Peter and John and said, go! And get what I need. They're going to be tied up next to that house or next to that place. And if you untie them, and while you're untying them, they ask you what you need that for, you just tell them the Lord needs it. The king needs it. And that's what we're to do. We're to do the job that God has called us to herald out the word of God to this dying world, people, to give out those things that bring life to people upon the earth. Because it says Jesus is life. And here they go. It doesn't say how long. We don't know. It could have took them a half a day. Could have took them a whole day. We don't know. But they were close. But you know, when you're walking, it takes a while. They finally get to this place and they see this donkey and their little colt there. And they go up to him. They each get one, and they start untying it. They're probably looking around and saying, okay, now, Lord, I'm doing what you said to do. See, that doesn't mean that we don't have fear, but we don't let fear grip us that it stops us from doing what God wants. That we continue in what God tells us to do and the power and the anointing of God. And all of a sudden, as they untie, the owner comes out. And he says, what are y'all doing? They could have froze right there. And I don't know, it doesn't say which one spoke up. Might have been both of them. They said, the Lord, the Messiah, or the King needs him. And it says the owner said, yes. You might say, well, why was he so willing to say yes right away? You know, I often thought about that, and it had to be certain because probably, I bet you this man was touched by Jesus somehow, somewhere. Jesus' fame was shed abroad in that area like no other man. Because of him laying hands on the sick and people getting up, people that had lame legs and couldn't walk, and they were healed. People that were hungry and destitute of food, God would supply for them, Jesus would. Many people blind would be healed. And somehow this man, God chose from the heavens above to use his animals to bring in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a God we serve. Probably he may have even been thinking, Lord, what do I have that you can use? We don't know. That's one thing. That's my interpretation. See, sometimes we think, Lord, I have nothing, basically. Lord, I have nothing that you can use. But let me tell you this. What we have in the hands of God can produce mighty things for God. Amen. That's how we got to look at it, people. Your little bit and my little bit and somebody else's little bit and your little bit, when it becomes little bit from everybody, it becomes a lot to God. Even our little bit is a lot to God. Because he's saying, let me use it. Let me use your talents, your abilities. Let me use your prayers. Let me use your money. Let me use what you have. That's just like that little lady that gave little mite less than a penny. How old is it? He said she gave more than all. All that came before. Now that doesn't mean just because you give a penny, you give it more than anybody else. God looked at the heart. That's what she had to give. She gave out of her need. My God. So they kept on tying, and when they said, the Lord has need of these, look, that guy was so old, he said, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Can you imagine if that would have been your colt, or your donkey, or your Chevy, Cadillac? I'm not going to say GMC, that's the cross you, that's the line you don't roll. No. They sell all kind of stuff, so I gotta give a plug into the Chevy. I have a little Chevy Cruze, I like it. Very good. Very good deal. Can you imagine God saying, let me use what you have? And they took the donkey and they took the colt. They brought him to Jesus. Now let's get back on track as far as reading the scriptures. Let's read the last part. It said this, verse 7. And brought the donkey or the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes and set them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw, scattered them in the way. And the multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come in into Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Here we see, when they brought the two, the colt, John and Peter, they brought them to Jesus. The disciples and them started taking off some of their garments that they had, and they started putting. See, a king needs to be honored. The disciples took off what they had, what they could, you know, to a certain amount. They had outer garments and, you know, whatever. They took off what they could and they laid it upon that new coat. And they laid the garments also upon the donkey, the mom. They gave what they had. People, come on now. We need to be sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord 100%. That we give what we have. And you know, and I know the first thing we think, well, Lord, can the Lord can ask for it all? No. But it's all His no matter what. It's all His no matter what. From the shirts we have, the pants we have, the houses we have, the vehicle, everything is His. And He wants to use it for His glory, for His honor. So that the people out there can see who he is. They took off those garments and they put it upon those two animals. Wow. You know, I'm wondering. You know, the disciples brought these two animals. And in one other place, in another place in Mark, it talks about they only brought a colt. So, you know, but it doesn't matter. They brought both of them. Because the mama won't let that colt go without her. I wonder if they thought, these disciples, which one Jesus would ride on. Or what would happen. I mean, honestly, Jesus could have got on none of them. They didn't know what he was going to do. For sure. They didn't know at all. Peter and John didn't know Peter and John. They didn't know they would get along. Did James and John's mother go to Jesus and ask for them to sit, the sons of thunder, to sit on either side of him in the throne room of heaven? I mean, come on now. No telling. They still had their little, just like all of us. So we never know what's going on through people's minds and hearts. But I tell you what, as we pray and seek the Lord, God keeps us on a level playing field and keeps us in the right direction all the time. That we seek God and God helps us to meet the needs of the people. When they put those garments from themselves upon these animals, they sacrificed, they gave of themselves for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, Jesus, I don't know if somebody helped him, you know what, but he gets on this colt. Now, you have to remember, Jesus is not a weakling at all. Jesus was very strong. He was a carpenter. You remember when he went into the synagogue and he started throwing these tables over, pushing them over? These were huge tables, 4, 5, 6 inches thick of wood. Huge. It took someone with strength and power to throw those things over. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise that Jesus just jumped on that thing. You know, he wasn't no little sissy. You may not like that word, but that's true. There's no sissies in the kingdom of God. There's men and women of God that are called by God to do the work of the ministry, to do God's work. Jumped on that thing. And all of a sudden, he got on the colt, the foal that had never been ridden before. It's an amazing thing. We're talking about coincidences or whatever you want to say that way. You know, Jesus was born of a woman who never had been with a man. Wow. Jesus was laid in a tomb that had no one had ever been in as far as after they died. And also here we see Jesus riding upon a colt that had never been ridden. That's amazing. It's an amazing thing when the Spirit of God comes in and Jesus sits on that colt, you, the King, is here. My God is here. I better not even try to rebel and buck him off. Because severe consequences are coming my way. He was lulled into submission. Had to be. But you know the pride and arrogance, if you want to say it that way, of this cult saying, the King is riding on me. I know they don't think like human beings, but, you know, whatever. But as they're coming in, all of a sudden it says, in the latter part of the verses, that it says that the earth quaked. Because as they were coming in from Bethpage and Bethany, the suburbs, they were coming into Jerusalem. And who was in Jerusalem? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. All the religious people there waiting. They didn't know, and they heard noise coming. They said, what's going on? What's happening? And all of a sudden, they started to say, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the King of Kings. They cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna was used to express adoration and praise and joy. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And look, remember his popularity, remember that. And he was riding on a colt. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From what other books say about this event, they're thinking thousands upon thousands started to say this. And the reason it has to be true, because it said that the earth quaked in the latter part of that verse at the end that we read. Quaked with a shaking because of the words that came from the people that saw Jesus. And all they could say was, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna unto him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It probably started with only one person moved by the Holy Spirit. One person. That it just welled up on the inside. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then the next person next to him got a hold of it and said, let's sing it. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then the other person next to them. Then another 20 people down the road. Then another 30, 40, 50. That now thousands behind and thousands before him were shouting his name. Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It roared with power and authority to the one that had the authority and the power. These people knew that their hope was sitting upon that foal. Their hope was sitting upon that colt. He was their king. He was their Lord. He was their Savior. He was their God. And they wanted to set him up as king right then. His popularity, my people, these people were in love with him. Now, a lot of them were in love with him because of his acts. Yes. But how many are we in love with God because of what he's done for us? Saved our soul from sin. Saved our soul from hell. Fed us when we needed food. Gave us direction. Gave us hope. Gave us life. Gave us healing. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They kept shouting and shouting and shouting till thousands upon thousands of people, because they had many feasts going on in that time. Feast of unleavened bread and all kinds. There are three of them that were happening. There were thousands upon thousands of people in Jerusalem and all the surrounding areas as they shouted to the king. And all of a sudden, the people in Jerusalem started hearing, what's that noise? What's that noise? They called it noise. God called it praise. Hosanna. blessing of his kingdom comes in the name of the Lord. As they shouted to their God. And all of a sudden, he was on the road with that, riding on that little foal, colt, representing the Savior of the world. Here, the donkey, the mother in the back. No one was riding on her. On her. One represented the Savior of the world, that people that would accept him. The mother represented the people that would not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we know Israel did, for the most part. We still have that choice today. Do we accept the colt and the foal that has Jesus, or do we reject the donkey that has no Savior? Who do we go for? Who do we go for? Still have a choice today. And all of a sudden, as they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, somebody down the road takes off.